In terms of fundraisers, like Farm City Day and what was the craft fair? How many people participated on an average?
Maybe I can tell you how it goes. Before we have one of these events, there'll be a meeting of probably three or four or five or six women. And so once it's been decided that we're going to have one, and these people get together. And that often consists of Evelyn Teer, Carolyn Lloyd, Kitty Bradshaw, myself, Patty Crawford. That sort of be a core group. Get together and say, okay, let's do it. Let's break down the chores. The got to have a barbecue because that's always our big fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we barbecue shoulders and sell them, whole shoulders. And bulk of it is chopped up and sold for sandwiches or by the pound. So the barbecuing has to be done. Then we buy 500 or 600 pounds of pork. And a group of the men will get together the night before, the day before, several days before they get together, cut up some hickory. We always have hickory smoked. Somebody will have a tree, and then they'll cut it up. Guys will take the barbecue and stuff over to the community building the day before. The wood, the cookers, the big tin cans they make the coals in. Put it all up there. And that night, about 5 or 6 o'clock, people start gathering in. There'll be Fred Summers, Thomas Teer, Maury Hinkles comes. He comes early in the morning because he likes to chop. But, you know, there's Charles Best is always there, and five or six others whose names I can't think of this minute. There'll be 10 or 12 people involved, four or five of them being there all night, watching the coals, cooking and stuff. And then other people will come by in the evening around 11 o'clock just for fun. Maybe Bland Simpson, Ann, me, Lloyd Little, Hank Powell. Just people come by because they know what's going on. Stand around these cookers, sip a little bourbon, tell stories, tell a lot of stories. One night we decided we needed Rachel Best, so we went and woke Rachel up and brought her back. Just fun. Those guys are there all night. They're real tired by the next morning. Oh, and then that night, probably about 5 or 6 o'clock, women come in and start cleaning the kitchen in the community building for all the cooking that will go on the next day. And hang quilts, usually. Always hang quilts all around the edges of that great big building. So that means that before the event, somebody, often me, has gone out and called on 5 or 6 of the different older women in the community, and they'll dig in their chests and bring out these beautiful, beautiful quilts that are treasures. Take them up and they're hanging in the building, usually put a little card on it saying, oh, this came from Miss Lashley, this came from Miss so-and-so, this was made by so-and-so's grandmother. And of course, all the people in the community know those families, and they get a big kick out of it, and it makes the building look so pretty.
Is this the community building?
Mm-hmm. So that night, okay, the cooking's going on, the building gets decorated, the kitchen gets cleaned. Kitty and June Bradshaw, no, that's Nancy Bradshaw, used to always, in the beginning, she did just the bulk of the kitchen work, and she got tired and retired. But she got us started, you know. Early the next morning, Friday night's cleaned up. Saturday morning, about 5 or 6 o'clock, somebody will come in and bake 200 biscuits, if we sell ham biscuits. And also they'll be somebody will come in and make breakfast for the barbecuers. And for the people who've been there all night, as well as the men who've come in and help chop it up. About 9 o'clock, people start coming in to set up the tables. And we often have a slideshow that just is on automatic and rotates all day. Shows pictures of the community. Oh, we'll have an information table where we'll be telling people about our side of the fight. We'll be doing the bake sale. The bake sale, the stalwarts of the bake sale are the older women in the community. Miss Virginia Perry and Miss Frances Crawford, the woman who is so sick right now. They kind of fell into the role of handling the bake sale, which means they call lots of people and remind them to bake their cakes and pies and bring in the iced tea and the lemonade, which we sell. And they'd sit there at the table all day. Of course, most of their stuff usually gone by noon, and baked goods just go right away. And there's always a wonderful little scene in the building that I always like. Over to one side, near the bake sale, there'll be 7 or 8 older women sitting in chairs, just talking, gossiping, and watching, and commenting on the younger people, looking at the younger children who come in. You just see the generation. Because probably one level down, you've got another age group that's in the kitchen on their feet all day selling these sandwiches, making this iced tea. Martha Kirk, sort of the way things get kind of evolved. Martha Kirk sort of came the person who fried the ham, fried the sausage in the morning. I'd always call Martha. Martha, can you do it again, you know, this year? And she'd say, oh, yeah. She had a crew she liked to work with, Priscilla Lloyd and someone else, I can't think of their name right now. And the three of them, they knew exactly how they wanted to fry ham for 200 biscuits. And they had a little, you know, they'd just show up and do it. Always had probably about 10 or 12 or 13 people who worked in the kitchen routinely. Newcomers and oldcomers alike. You know, somebody was good at drinks, somebody was good on the counter, somebody knew how to make barbecue sandwiches. Somebody made chili and brought it every time. Oh, so by the time you have one of those events put together, you easily have 40 or 50 people given a good amount of their time.
Did, like, the older members of the community call them newcomers, or did they just show up when they heard about these fundraisers?
Both. You know, a certain amount of jobs had to be allotted for in advance. And, it was nice the way people's skills were allowed to come to the fore. May Crawford, who has become just real, very, very, very fond of her, and so glad I got to meet her through this activity. May always knew where the quilts are. She could help us. One day I just had such a good time with her. I got in the car and we rode around, and I believe we got the best selection of quilts that time we ever got. You know, she knew where they were. And Ann Simpson, a total newcomer, you know. They've been, I suppose, 10 years, but when all this started, they were new. Ann had a knack for, just working the counter at the kitchen. You know, so people looked to her to do that. Bland came to be sort of a regular in the barbecuing. People were allowed to. Everybody found a way, found a place.
What about the craft there?
Same sort of events, you know, the kitchen, barbecue, all that sort of thing has to happen. The craftspeople, some of them became so loyal to us, you know, they would make a point of being there when we had our food. I think it's a small to medium-sized event.
The people from the town?
People were always generous to us. You know, there was one little girl who lived in the community who had a pony cart. She just took it to herself, you know, really initially once or twice came, and we started calling her every time because she would come and give rides for 50 cents, you know, give all the money to the fund. Irma Kirkpatrick is a woman who's well known in this area for quilting and sewing. She always came and helped. And another woman who did sketches just came every time. Then we had people in the community who were artisans, like Fred Sommer's wife, Maria. She's a potter. She was always there. Or she could have been in other places and always showed up, always helped. So even there, we pulled from the community for some of our own skilled people.
Did you ever raffle off quilts or anything?
Sure,
like
we
that?
Did. And they came from initially. See, that's some of the old women got together and made some quilts for us to sell. May Crawford pulled in her basket of treasures and pulled out tops that her mother had made many years ago from bead sacks or from other things, but they weren't on a quilt. And she'd get a group together and they'd quilt it, and we'd raffle them. Those were great big fundraisers for us. I mean, we'd make $1,000 on a quilt.
On a quilt?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they were so beautiful and certainly easy to sell tickets for. It. But they were treasures, just family treasures that May gave. For the purpose of raising money for the program.
Well, on Forum City Day, did a lot of people really come out from
Jeffrey? Oh, sure. Well, it was a wonderful fun day. You know, they had ride wagons around the farm. They would go down and see the milking operation at the Tier Farm or the Kirk Farm. It's a lot of fun. I mean,
did they give donations or?
But mostly we made money from the sale.
Do you think that if the reservoir is built, this sense of closeness will still exist in the community of people who still live there?
Sure, sure. I don't think you can ever take it away.
Do you think that many people will leave?
No, don't. I think the nature of their livelihood may change. No, I don't think they will.
In a sense, the whole community has grown stronger and has really grown into more of a community.
The circle's gotten larger. That's what I mean. If you're doing some telephone and you decide you need to call everybody, you'll notice that the phone numbers for the Kirks, the Tears, the Snipes are all in order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they had the original phones out there. So, that circle has just expanded to include others, people like myself. Mm-hmm. So it's stronger in that respect.
Okay. No question.
Thank you.
Okay.